second before he started crying again. Layla and Gigi settled on the couch and put the TV on a low volume. Ivy thought about asking for help, but she wanted to be able to do this. Aaron whined louder, and Ivy bounced him around the room. Her arm was damp where his little head rested, and even in the dim light, his face looked red. His crying broke into a cough, and Ivy propped him on her shoulder and patted his back. She leaned her head against his and hummed, "I See the Moon," a song Mom used to sing to Ivy when she was little. Ivy pressed her cheek to his, and his skin felt really hot. She shifted him back into the crook of her elbow and felt his head with her hand. He was burning up. "Layla!" Ivy called, but Layla didn't respond. Ivy walked around their bed and into the living room area. Her sister and Gigi were on the couch, talking. Layla looked up as Ivy got closer and Aaron's cries got louder. "Will he not go to sleep?" she asked. "I think he's sick," Ivy said. "He feels really hot. Where's the thermometer?" Layla's relaxed smile disappeared. She was off the couch in a flash, cupping her whole hand over Aaron's forehead. "He does feel warm. Why didn't you tell me?"
"I am telling you."
Layla disappeared into the bathroom and came back with a digital thermometer. "I think Mom put this under his arm yesterday." Ivy laid Aaron down on the changing pad on top of the dresser and wiggled one of his arms out of his onesie. Layla pressed the tip of the thermometer to his armpit and held his arm down. He screamed even louder, but she kept him there until the thermometer beeped. The digital display lit up bright red.
102.9, Layla said. "Oh, God, I think that's bad in a baby this young."
"What do we do?"
Ivy asked as she fixed Aaron's onesie. "I'm calling Mom." Layla took out her phone and tapped the screen, pacing while Gigi looked on, her brows scrunched up in concern. Ivy tried to keep Aaron calm, but he was totally losing it now. She couldn't hear what Layla was saying over the shrieking, but her face looked panicked. She nodded and nodded some more before she finally hung up.
"They're coming, but they want me to take him to urgent care and meet us there."
"How are you going to get there?"
Ivy asked. She didn't know where the closest urgent care was, but she was sure it wasn't within walking distance, especially not with a baby in tow. "They had no car. Dad borrowed Jasper's pickup truck to take Mom out. I told Mom that Gigi was here and that she could drive me."
"Yeah, of course," Gigi said.
"What about Evan?"
Ivy handed Aaron over to Layla and peeked at Evan in his bed. He was totally conked out, oblivious to his twin's woes. "Mom's calling Robin and asking her to come stay with you," Layla said.
"What? Why? Just let us come with you."
"She's calling Robin," Layla repeated while she grabbed the diaper bag. "Mom doesn't want to have to worry about you and Evan right now, Ivy. Just stay here, okay? And don't wake him up."
And then they left, taking Ivy's screaming baby brother with them. Chapter 24. Questions. Ivy curled up on her bed and took out her yellow notebook. She stared at a blank page for a long time. Except for Evan's sleepy baby breaths, the room was silent. She picked up a pencil and started to draw. She didn't even think. She started making lines, just like her mom taught her. "When there are too many thoughts swirling around in my head, I let my hand take over," Mom had said a few years ago. "I put a pencil between my fingers and I let it do the work for me. You'd be surprised what you come up with." So that's what Ivy did. She couldn't figure out what she wanted to draw, only that she needed to draw to keep back all the thoughts. The quiet made her mind fuzzy with worry, but she kept drawing. Lines, curves, small and large. Her hand flew over the page. Pretty soon, Robin knocked on the door, but Ivy kept drawing. It was like the pencil marks were holding her together. Ivy heard the door open and the soft pad of feet across the hardwood floor.
"Hi, hun," Robin said.
Finally, Ivy's hand stilled. She looked up at Robin, who was dressed in pajama bottoms covered in pineapples and a plain light gray t-shirt.
"Hi," Ivy said.
"Have your parents called the room?" Ivy shook her head, her hands limp on her notebook.
Babies get fevers all the time, Robin said as she walked over and checked on Evan. I'm sure Aaron's fine. Ivy nodded and shrugged at the same time. Were you drawing?
I didn't mean to interrupt,
Robin said. She took a step closer to the bed and looked down at the notebook.
That's lovely, Ivy.
Ivy looked at what she was drawing for the first time. It was the profile of a girl's face. Her eyes were staring upward, as though searching for her favorite stars in the sky, and tears were rolling down her cheeks. Her hair was short and shaded pencil lead dark, with a single tiny braid curling over her ear. Robin squeezed Ivy's shoulder and then started digging in her bag, a huge black canvas thing with tiny red strawberries all over it. She pulled out a deck of cards.
Rummy?
She held up the cards, one eyebrow raised.
Yeah, okay.
Ivy managed to whisper. She closed her notebook, sending June's face into the dark. Layla and Ivy used to play rummy with their grandma before she moved to Florida. Grammy kicked their butts every single time. Robin handed Ivy the deck, and they settled on the floor in front of the sofa. The cards felt crisp and new, and had a bunch of illustrations of lady authors on the back. Ivy spied Emily Dickinson, with her hair parted down the middle and pulled into a tight bun. Ivy dealt them each 7 cards, but she couldn't concentrate on the game. She couldn't stop thinking about June. How Ivy just started drawing her face like it was a habit or something. Mom said that sometimes what she drew when she let her hand take over helped her understand herself better. Ivy never understood what her mom was talking about, and still didn't. Drawing June like that just made her feel more confused. Robin flipped cards back and forth in her hand, arranging them just so, and Ivy caught a glimpse of a ring on her finger. A diamond ring. It was small, but super sparkly. A circle of smaller diamonds surrounding the big one in the middle and trickled down the silver band. It was kind of vintage-looking and really pretty. She hadn't noticed it when she was in Robin's office that time. Robin had more than a crush. She had a whole girlfriend. A fiancé.
How is Jessa doing?
Ivy asked, hoping she remembered the name correctly. Robin flicked her eyes up to Ivy's and smiled, a huge smile that filled her eyes and showed all her teeth.
She's well. Busy, but she'll be here in a couple of weeks.
Ivy laid down 3 aces, and Robin stuck her tongue out at her.
Do you miss her when she's not here?
Ivy asked.
Robin nodded. It's hard. Living in 2 different cities. She travels a lot for work. But I think it'll be easier once she moves here.
I like your ring.
Robin looked down at her ring and grinned.
Thank you. Jessa actually picked it out herself.
Did you?
Ivy frowned. How did it work when 2 girls were getting married? Did both of them get rings? Ivy's head clouded with all the things she didn't know and didn't know how to ask.
Did I get her an engagement ring?
Robin asked. And Ivy nodded, grateful that Robin seemed to read her mind.
I did, Robin said. We both wanted one, so we thought, why not?
That's nice.
Robin laughed and twisted the ring on her finger.
I think so.
They played a few more rounds, and Ivy ended up winning. While Robin shuffled for a new game, question after question popped into Ivy's mind. Stuff she couldn't ask Keeper. How did Robin and Jessa meet? Were their parents fine with everything? Were they friends? Did they ever feel weird holding hands in public? How would the wedding work? Would they both wear white dresses? Would they wear dresses at all? Robin hummed a little as she dealt the cards. Ivy picked hers up and tried to focus. But there was one question that kept bubbling up, bigger and bigger, and Ivy couldn't seem to pop it.
Robin?
Hmm? She laid down a 10, a jack, and a queen of hearts.
How did you, I mean, you and Jessa, how did you?
Ivy swallowed hard, and her fingers felt sweaty on her cards. When she looked up, Robin was watching her, her hand frozen on the discard pile. Ivy kept waiting for her to fill in the question like most grown-ups seem to love doing. But Robin just waited. Ivy sipped at the air, and then she just said it. Well, she whispered it.
How did you know?
For what felt like forever, Robin didn't say anything. She didn't even blink. And Ivy felt her face burning. If she drew herself right now, the sketch would be all the reds, dark pinks, and mottled crimson. Then Robin's face changed. It softened, and she sucked in a breath.
Ah,
she said. She picked up a card from the discard pile. That's a complicated question.
I'm sorry.
Ivy drew a card and discarded another without looking at either one.
You don't have to.
No, it's fine, Ivy. I don't mind talking about it at all. It's just different for everyone.
Ivy nodded. What was it like for you?
Robin folded her cards and set them on the floor. Well, first of all, there wasn't this one big moment when I knew. I was around your age when I really started thinking about it. Started realizing that I didn't think about boys like my friends did. I didn't think about them at all except as friends, some of whom smelled bad.
Ivy couldn't help but laugh at that, but it was a jittery laugh.
She couldn't tell if she was nervous or excited just to be having this conversation. She wrapped her arms around her legs and pulled her knees to her chest. Then, when I was in 9th grade, I met this girl. Robin smiled and shrugged. And it still took me a while, but around her I felt, well, I felt awful, anxious and sick to my stomach, and I stumbled over my words. It was terrible.
Ivy's nerves skipped around her body. That's how a crush feels, isn't it?
Yes, I think it is.
Did she like you back?
Robin's smile faded a little.
No, not as anything other than a friend.
But that wasn't her fault, any more than it was my fault that I liked her.
And after that, you knew?
I knew something. What, I'm not really sure. I didn't actually come out until I was a senior in high school.
Come out.
Ivy had heard that phrase before, but never really thought about it much until she overheard that conversation between Layla and Gigi. Coming out. The grand revealing where you told your friends and family that you liked girls, or boys, or whoever. Where you told them you were different.
Was it hard?
Ivy asked.
Telling everyone?
Robin nodded.
Yes. I won't lie to you, it was. I grew up here, and it wasn't easy being a queer girl in a small southern town, much less a black queer girl in the South. It's still hard. I was lucky, though. My parents were and still are very supportive. But I got plenty of heat for it elsewhere. Some people didn't like that I shared a locker room with their daughter, or that I still went to church with my parents every Sunday. Even now, Jessa and I are...
She pressed her mouth flat.
Well, we're just very mindful of where we are and how we act when we're in public. It's not fair, but that's how it is right now. But it's getting better, I hope. We can get married, legally, and that's huge.
Ivy's arms tightened around her legs, and she tried to imagine holding June's hand at school, like holding her hand, their fingers tangled up instead of wrapped around their palms. She tried to imagine telling her parents, or Layla, or Taryn, or even Robin, right now in this very moment. Anyone with eyes and a mouth and ears. Someone more than just blocky words on a page left in her locker. What would they say when she told them? Suddenly, Ivy was ravenous for more of Robin's story, for anything she could get.
Did any of your friends freak out?
Ivy asked. Robin tilted her head at Ivy.
What do you mean?
Did any of your friends think it was weird or wrong or something?
Robin blew out a breath.
Well, I did have a few friends who struggled with it at first. It just surprised them.
Was that what happened with Layla and Gigi? Was Layla just working through it all? and now they were back to normal?
In the end, this was about me, not them,
Robin said, tapping her chest.
And the people in my life could either accept that, or they could live without me.
Ivy swallowed hard.
Did anyone choose to, well,
live without me?
Ivy nodded. Robin smiled sadly.
One friend, and it hurt. It hurt a lot. But if she couldn't love me for me, then I didn't need her in my life. I know that's easier said than done, and it took me a long time to really believe that. But it's the truth.
What about Jessa?
Ivy asked.
Well, Jessa's journey is a little different. She didn't come out until she was 30, just 2 years ago.
Ivy's eyes widened.
Really?
Robin nodded.
She's bisexual. Do you know what that means?
I think so, that she likes girls and guys.
Or anyone,
Robin said.
Jessa grew up with a very strict family, so she didn't have as much freedom to question herself or who she might like or might not like.
Oh.
You can ask her about it when she visits if you want.
Ivy nodded and chewed on her lip. Her mind was whirling, storming, funneling into a twisting tornado.
Ivy.
She lifted her head and met Robin's probing gaze.
Is there anything particular you'd like to tell me about?
For a second, Ivy thought she wanted to tell Robin about June and holding hands and Keeper and how she hoped June was Keeper and how she was also scared that June was Keeper and how she couldn't figure out what she felt about anything anymore. But she didn't think it was about June.
Not really.
It was about Ivy herself. And that was the scariest thing of all. She shook her head and curled into an even tighter ball.
Okay, Robin said softly. That's fine. But if you ever do, I'm here.
Ivy nodded, her throat too tight to say anything.
May I say one thing before I try to redeem myself in the game of rummy?
Sure, Ivy whispered. Robin folded her arms around her legs, just like Ivy was doing. Like they were two girls sharing secrets at a slumber party.
If a person was questioning all this stuff, that person doesn't have to know all the answers. They don't have to be sure about anything. They don't have to label themselves as anything but a human being if they don't want to. Does that make sense?
I think so.
That person can just let themselves feel and think about what they need to. It's okay to wonder, to be curious, and it's okay to be sure, too.
But you,
that person, don't have to be, all right?
Something in Ivy's chest loosened. Her arms unclenched from around her legs and fell into her lap. And then that loose thing in her chest made its way up her throat and into her eyes, and suddenly she was crying. Not just crying, but deep, heaving sobs that were almost silent because she couldn't get enough air to make them any louder.
Oh, honey,
Robin said. She scooted closer to Ivy and pulled Ivy into her arms. Ivy went like a boneless fish. Robin smoothed her hand over Ivy's wild hair that her mom hadn't braided in months. Ivy rested her head on Robin's shoulder, hiccuping and not even bothering to wipe her face. And it felt good. Ivy was scared and kind of freaking out, but it felt so good just to cry and have a real person hear her. Then Robin kissed the top of Ivy's head, and Ivy pulled back and wiped her face with her arm, and they went back to playing rummy. Just like that. The world was still here, and Ivy was still here. Robin was still Robin. Ivy's mind was full, and she thought her heart might be trying to beat right out of her chest, but she was still Ivy. Questions and wild heart and all. Ivy glanced at the clock, glowing in icy blue on the little table in between the beds. It was barely 7:30. Layla and Aaron had only been gone for about an hour.
Robin?
She asked.
Ivy?
She stacked up the playing cards and slipped them back into the box.
Do you think I could call a friend to come over for a while?
Robin smiled.
Absolutely.
Chapter 25. Sent Away. Robin settled on the sofa with a book, throwing Ivy a wink or a smile every now and then while Ivy and June sat cross-legged on one of the hotel beds. Ivy was certain Robin recognized June from that picture she had drawn earlier, hence all the winking and smiling. But Ivy found she didn't mind. When Ivy called June earlier, June's voice had sounded small and tired on the phone. But her mom let her walk over to the inn, and she immediately started working on her resilient Helenwood project, pulling papers and colored pencils out of her bag. She didn't seem to want to talk much, but that was fine with Ivy. She watched June's hand color the little shards of glass she had just drawn in icy blue. The glass girl from her poem wasn't actually made of glass. Underneath all that, she was flesh and bone, and smiling and alive. Ivy didn't think she could have drawn the picture better herself. The girl was standing in a large field, bright green grass surrounding her like the ocean, and she had her hands lifted to the sky. Pieces of broken glass were everywhere, in the air and at the girl's fingertips, stuck in her hair and in blades of grass, like she had just broken free.
"This is perfect,"
Ivy said, swiping her hand over the not-glass girl's face. June smiled.
"It's not as good as your stuff."
"Good is subjective. That's what my mom always says anyway. This is what you meant it to be, isn't it? Which means it's perfect. It's a story." June stopped coloring and looked up. She stared at Ivy, and then back down at her drawing, and then suddenly tears were streaming down her cheeks. Ivy just sat there, wondering what to do. She shot a glance at Robin, who lifted concerned eyebrows in their direction. Ivy reached out and took June's hand, palm to palm. No lacing or tangling at all. Just comfort. Just friends.
"I'm sorry,"
June said, wiping her face with her free hand.
"It's just this drawing. It is perfect, but it's just a drawing, you know? A picture. It's made up, like you said. A story."
Ivy squeezed June's hand tighter and nodded. No matter how much comfort Ivy got from drawing her treehouse pictures, they were make-believe, too. But maybe they didn't have to be.
"Even made-up stories are about the truth," Ivy said.
Her mom had said something like that a long time ago, and Ivy finally knew what she meant.
"You could tell your mom. You could tell her how you feel." "I've tried. She doesn't get it. I'm doing this whole resilient Helenwood thing for her. I just hope she really sees it, you know?"
Ivy nodded again.
"June, can I ask,
why is my mom such a freak?"
Well, I was going to say, why is she so protective?" June smiled and pulled her hand out of Ivy's. She wiped her eyes with both hands before picking up the blue-colored pencil and rolling it between her fingers. It was so quiet, Ivy worried she'd asked the wrong question. Maybe she should mind her own business. Maybe everybody should.
"I was sick," June finally said.
Ivy wasn't sure what she was expecting, but it wasn't that. Surprise mingled with something else, something darker. Worry.
Are you okay?"
Ivy asked.
"Yeah, I'm fine now.
But my mom worries. A lot. It's like all she does. I think she'd be happy if I never set foot outside ever again. She'd homeschool me if she didn't have to work so much." June started coloring in a few more glass shards, but then she stopped, staring at the glass girl again. Ivy didn't think June was talking about a cold or strep throat.
"I haven't told anyone this," June said.
"I mean, not like I have anyone to tell, really. But I didn't want to be that kid, you know? The cancer kid." Ivy's stomach sprinted to her feet.
"Cancer?"
"I had leukemia. I was diagnosed when I was 8.
"Oh. Oh, wow."
"Yeah, it sucked pretty much all the time for 3 years. I lost my hair and threw up a lot when I was doing the chemo. I've only been in remission for a year, and my mom is still stressed all the time about it. And she's a doctor, which makes it worse. My body temperature goes up to 99, and she drags me to the hospital.
Really?
And stuffs me with vegetables and organic this and that. I'd kill for a slice of pizza or some chocolate chip cookies. Those granola bars in the treehouse are all I can sneak past her. And now she took all that, too.
Well, that explained June's weird lunches.
I just want to do stuff, you know? June said, her voice small and sad. That's why I'm going to do the art show. I'm not a great artist, but it's something. I can learn to draw. I can do photography. I can write poems and make a collage. I could have died. But instead, I get to have friends and do the things I like. She waved her hand at Ivy and smiled. Ivy smiled back, but she couldn't get that word, leukemia, out of her head. Suddenly, everything about June made sense.
Is that what that poem was about? The one I read? Ivy said.
June's face burned bright red, and she pressed her hands to her cheeks.
That was... You don't have to explain it. Sorry, I shouldn't have even read it.
June nodded. Thanks.
But I want to explain it. That's what friends do, right? They tell each other stuff.
Ivy's stomach flipped and flopped, a familiar feeling by now, and her mind flashed to her notes with Keeper.
Yeah,
she whispered.
Well, that poem, it was about you and Taryn.
Ivy blinked, trying to remember the exact words of the poem. They don't know I watch them. They laugh and I want to know the joke, but they're too far away, happy without me.
Really?
Ivy asked.
June nodded. I know I'm a weirdo. I just wanted to know you. You seemed so interesting and fun.
Ivy's heart soared and hurt at the same time. Before she could second guess it, Ivy threw her arms around June's neck. Right away, June's arms came around Ivy's back, and they sat there together, a little tangle of friendship. Ivy pulled back first, but kept hold of one of June's hands.
I want to tell you something, too.
She said it without thinking, not even sure what the something was. There were a lot of somethings in Ivy's heart and mind right now, but she wanted June to have something of hers, too. Something real. Something that wasn't just stuck in a drawing.
Okay, June said,
beaming and clearly relieved. She kept hold of Ivy's hand, and Ivy squeezed so tightly, she worried she might be crushing June's fingers. But before Ivy could say anything else, a key rattled in the door, and her dad walked in. He looked awful. His hair was a mess, and his eyes were red and droopy-looking.
Dad!
Ivy pulled her hand from June's.
Hey, sweetie, you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. How's Aaron?
Dad sighed and dragged his hand through his hair. Robin stood up, and Ivy slid off the bed, June right by her side.
He's okay for now,
Dad said.
He's got an upper respiratory infection, which usually means a bad cold, but the doctor thinks it's bacterial. So Aaron has to go on antibiotics. And because he's so young and they're on the lookout for pneumonia, they're going to keep him in the hospital for now.
Oh, Ivy whispered. Those words, bacterial and pneumonia, were never good words.
Their neighbor, Miss Clement, had pneumonia once. She was in the hospital for a week. Next to Ivy, June shifted, and Ivy wondered if she was thinking that her mom would probably freak out about the whole bacteria thing.
But he'll be okay, won't he?
Ivy asked.
He'll be fine, sweetie, Dad said. He's in good hands. It'll just take some time.
He looked at Robin and smiled wearily.
Thank you so much for staying with Ivy and Evan.
No trouble at all, Robin said. I had fun. Ivy's a special girl.
That she is.
Then Dad glanced at June.
Hi, June. How are you?
I'm okay, Mr. Aberdeen, thanks. Dad nodded, but he just kept standing there, running one finger over his eyebrow again and again.
Well, Robin said, I'll just go and let you—
Actually, Robin, Dad said, you've done so much already, but I have a favor to ask.
Of course, anything I can do to help.
Thank you. Could you give me one moment with my daughter first?
Sure, Robin said.
June, come tell me about yourself, sweetie.
June's eyes met Ivy's, and Ivy swallowed the knot in her throat. All her senses were on alert. June and Robin settled on the sofa as Dad led Ivy over to the beds. He checked on Evan, squeezing Ivy's baby brother's tiny hand before sitting down on the edge of his bed.
Honey, I need you to do something for me, he said.
Ivy sank onto the other bed, facing her dad, her heart a bass drum in her chest.
Okay.
Dad looked at his lap and kept touching his eyebrow, a sure sign that he was nervous.
Dad, you're scaring me.
His head snapped up, and he reached out to take Ivy's hands.
Oh, honey, I'm sorry. It's nothing to be scared of. In fact, you might like it.
What is it?
I know we've been through so much lately. I never expected all this and never, ever wanted you to go through losing your own home. I still haven't really processed it all, and I wanted to keep us together as a family, to figure this out together. But with Aaron being sick and all of us crammed into one room like this, well, your mom and I think it's best if you stay with Taryn for right now.
Ivy slipped her hands out of her father's and balled them in her lap.
Oh.
Just for a while, honey, until things settle down.
Are you sending Layla away, too?
Ivy, we aren't sending you away.
Is Layla going, too?
Ivy's tone sharpened, but if Dad noticed, he didn't say anything about it.
I have to work, Ivy. We need all the money we can get. And if I don't complete projects, I don't get paid. Layla helps Mom with the boys in the afternoons.
So, no. You're only sending me away. I can help too, you know.
We're not sending you away,
he said again, but quietly.
I need you to be strong, Ivy. This is a hard time for all of us. We all have to do our part.
And Ivy's part was to get out of the way, to get smaller and smaller. She didn't say any of this, but they both knew it was true. It had been true ever since Mom told them she was pregnant with twins. At the thought, guilt snapped at Ivy because she really did love Aaron and Evan, but she couldn't help it. She couldn't stop the feeling that she was disappearing from her own family. Mom couldn't even come to tell her goodbye.
Get some things together to take with you, okay? Dad said. I'm going to ask Robin to drive you over to Taryn's. We've already spoken to her mom.
Ivy nodded and got up, drifting through the room to collect her secondhand clothes and her toothbrush. She didn't even have a suitcase to put them in, so she stuffed everything into her backpack. Dad talked with Robin quietly while June hovered nearby, worry all over her face. But Ivy couldn't look at her. Ivy's face flamed up as she finished packing, as June watched her get shipped off.
Here, June said, handing Ivy the notebook that Ivy had left on the bed.
Ivy dropped it into her backpack. Then they just stood there, Ivy staring at the floor. She didn't want June to say anything. When Dad and Robin finished talking, he pulled Ivy into a hug while Robin and June waited in the hall. He pressed something into Ivy's hand. It was a cell phone.
I already programmed all our numbers in, he said. We'll talk every day, okay? And we'll see you before you know it. For your birthday next week, we'll go out to eat anywhere you want, all right?
Ivy's birthday. With everything going on, she'd barely thought about it. But April 29th was next week. She'd be 13. A teenager. Practically a woman.
I know it's a special one, and your mom always wanted to do a big party, but...
Dad sighed.
Well, we'll just have to see what we can do. And hey, you'll already be with your best friend. How cool is that?
Ivy blinked at him and nodded. Words formed and died on her tongue.
just as well. None of them were very nice.
We love you so much,
Dad said, pulling Ivy into one last hug.
Don't forget that.
Ivy didn't say anything back. Instead, she drifted out the door, barely feeling her feet underneath her. Chapter 26. Something Huge. Ivy hadn't heard from Keeper in 3 days. The morning after she was sent to Terran's, she opened up her locker fully expecting another one of her treehouse pictures and a new note. But there was nothing. She was so mad that she'd slammed her locker door and stomped her way to homeroom without another word to Terran, who had been chattering away about the spring dance coming up that weekend while she rifled through her own locker. The next day, nothing. The next, nothing still. Ivy didn't understand it. She needed to tell Keeper about her family, about being banished, about her talk with Robin, and how with every day that passed, Ivy was more and more sure that she liked June. In fact, she was certain. There was too much evidence, too many fluttery feelings and daydreams in math class, and sweaty palms whenever she caught a glimpse of short dark hair in the school hallway. And she missed June. She missed June so much, she felt the ache in her bones. Ivy hadn't seen her outside of school since that night in the hotel room. Apparently, June hadn't actually gotten permission to come over, and now she was grounded for at least a month for sneaking out. It was awful. It was agony. And she knew why. She, Ivy Aberdeen, liked June Somerset. Now she just had to figure out what to do about it, and talking to Keeper was step number one. But as she lay in the middle of the giant trampoline in Taryn's backyard after 3 days of facing her empty locker, Ivy felt more abandoned than ever. Everyone was disappearing.
Okay, are you ready for this?
Taryn said as she started jumping.
Ready for what? Ivy asked.
This!
Taryn jumped harder and higher, somersaulting and flipping, sending Ivy's body bouncing around the trampoline like a rubber ball. Ivy had to stick out her hands to keep from smashing her face into the trampoline. Laughter burst out of Ivy, and Taryn cartwheeled over her, grinning from ear to ear. Finally, Taryn collapsed at Ivy's side, looping her arm through Ivy's. The movement rolled Ivy into her, and their butts collided. They both laughed, but soon they got quiet and stared up at the trees swaying back and forth against the blue sky. Ivy loved laughing, but she loved this, too. The easy silence, her best friend so close she could hear her breathing. Ivy had been at Terran's for 3 days. They'd had fun, watching movies and eating Mr. Bishop's amazing food, and doing their homework together. The one thing they didn't do was play soccer in Taryn's backyard like they used to. Ivy kind of wanted to play, but since she told Taryn that she didn't care about the soccer camp, Ivy didn't want to bring it up. Still, being at Taryn's was fine. It was mostly fun, but it wasn't home. Unfortunately, nothing really was. Aaron came home from the hospital yesterday, but Ivy's parents didn't say anything about coming home. They sounded stressed every time they talked on the phone, which was every day. She even talked to Layla once, and her sister told her that a guy named Jared had asked her out. Ivy tried to act excited about it, but all she could think about was how easy it was for Layla to tell her that. How easy it was for her to tell Mom and Dad that she had a date, or whatever. Ivy wished her feelings about June were easy. Mom had been really quiet. She asked Ivy about school and everything, but she always sounded so tired. And one time she had to hand the phone off to Dad because Aaron started crying. Ivy guessed he was still on some medicine and was doing okay, but Dad said Mom was still worried. He didn't really say much about anything else, but he sounded pretty worried too. Last night, Ivy went downstairs to the Bishop's kitchen for a drink of water and overheard Taryn's parents in the living room talking about the Aberdeen's house. Or their lack of house. Ivy didn't get how a lot of the words worked together, things like insurance claims, and rebuilding, and months, and years. But one word they kept saying over and over again was crystal clear.
stress.
Taryn elbowed Ivy.
Pondering mysteries?
Ivy smiled and nodded, but she didn't continue their game. She didn't know what to say. Her thoughts were nothing but scribble-scrabble on a page and didn't make any sense at all. Taryn's face fell, and she turned away to gaze back at the clouds. She sighed loudly, and Ivy could tell she'd done something wrong, but she didn't know how to make it better.
What do you want to do for your birthday on Saturday?
Taryn asked quietly.
Oh, I don't know. My dad'll cook you a huge breakfast, obviously,
Taryn went on.
You can have your favorite maple and brown sugar pancakes. Then what?
I don't know. A movie, maybe?
Wrong answer. Nope. Try again.
What's wrong with a movie?
You're turning the big 1-3. Teen is going to be in your age now. It's huge. A movie is one giant yawn.
Well, maybe I like yawning. Taryn laughed, and Ivy laughed with her, but she was only half kidding. She was having a hard time getting excited about her birthday.
The spring dance is that night, Taryn said.
Of course it was.
Oh, well, that's fine. You're going with Drew, aren't you?
Taryn had finally grown tired of waiting around and asked Drew to the dance herself.
Yeah, but I don't have to go. I could stay with you.
No way. You've been so excited, Ivy said. Plus, my parents said they'd take me out to dinner.
Taryn nodded, propping herself up on her elbow.
I wish you'd come to the dance. It'd be more fun with you there.
That made Ivy laugh. I doubt that.
Why do you do that?
Do what?
Like, put yourself down. You're my best friend, you know.
Ivy wrinkled her brows.
I didn't mean to put myself down. I just...
But she didn't know how to finish that sentence. She always felt a little dull next to Taryn, who was all bright colors and bold lines.
You should come to the dance, Taryn said again. What if you went with June?
Ivy snapped her head toward her best friend. What? Taryn cleared her throat.
I mean, it would probably be fun to go with friends, right?
Ivy stared at Taryn, her thoughts whirling and blinking like fireflies. Because as soon as Taryn said it, Ivy knew exactly what she wanted to do. She was turning 13 after all. 13. Just the sound of the word in her head made her feel a little more grown up. A little braver. A little bolder. A little more Ivy. And she might not be with her family right now, but Taryn was right. She needed something huge. Something she'd never done before. Something wild and scary. Something she wanted.
Ivy knew exactly what to do about her crush on June. She was going to ask June Somerset to the spring dance.
By the time Ivy got to June's, she was soaked with sweat. For one, it was unseasonably hot for April, and the afternoon sun blazed over Ivy's back as she jogged down Cherry Street. On the other hand, Ivy was positive she'd be pouring sweat even if it were snowing. As soon as she decided to ask June to the dance, Ivy knew she had to do it right away. She tried to act casual as she told Taryn she thought it was a good idea, but inside she was ablaze with nerves. If Ivy thought her stomach was fluttering at the idea of crushing on June, that was nothing compared to the reality of actually asking June to a dance. She felt like a whole colony of bats had taken flight in her belly, thick wings and fuzzy and fanged. She gulped huge breaths as she rang June's doorbell. She put her hands in her front pockets, then her back pockets. Then she took them out and laced them together in front of her, then behind her. She had just let out a frustrated groan when the door swung open.
Hi, Ivy, Dr. Somerset said, smiling tightly.
Hi, Dr. Somerset.
June can't come out today, but I'll tell her you stopped by. Ivy gulped again. She knew she should nod and say thanks and go back to Taryn's. After all, Dr. Somerset was a grown-up. But Ivy needed to do this, and she needed to do this now.
I know she's grounded, Dr. Somerset. Do you think I could talk to her for just a minute? It won't take long, I promise.
Dr. Somerset pressed her mouth flat. I don't think so, Ivy. I'm not happy with the way my daughter has been behaving lately. Frankly, I'm not sure I want her to see.
Mom!
June appeared behind her mother, and Ivy exhaled.
June? Absolutely not,
Dr. Somerset said, turning and pointing to the stairs that led to the house's second floor. Back to your room.
Mom, it wasn't Ivy's fault. She didn't know I snuck out.
Dr. Somerset sighed and rubbed her temples.
Come on,
June begged.
She's my friend.
Fine, Dr. Somerset said, tossing her hands in the air. 5 minutes.
Thank you,
June said, and shoved past her mother to get to Ivy on the porch. Before Ivy could offer her thanks, too, June slammed the door shut, cutting them off from Dr. Somerset.
Hey,
June said, launching herself at Ivy, wrapping her in a hug.
Hey,
Ivy said, laughing. She pressed her fingers to June's back, but then made herself pull away.
Listen, I know you have to go, but I wanted to ask you something.
Okay, shoot.
June folded her arms and fixed her attention on Ivy. She was good at that. Whenever Ivy talked, June gave Ivy all her focus. Right now, it was making Ivy sweat even more.
Well, it's just that,
Ivy took a deep breath and made herself look at June, which didn't help the stomach bats. June's short hair was mussed and her feet were bare. She had on a pair of cutoffs and a periwinkle tank top that made her brown eyes look even darker.
She was so pretty.
Ivy tried not to think about it too much, but right now it was all she could see.
Ivy?
She blinked and stuffed her hands back in her front pockets. Sorry, okay. June frowned, and Ivy knew she was acting weird, so she swallowed a few times and looked down at the stone floor. Maybe if she didn't look at all the pretty, that would help.
Saturday is my birthday, and I-
Oh, it's your birthday? June said, clapping her hands.
Will you be 13?
Ivy nodded, swallowed, breathed.
I turn 13 in August, and I'm determined to have a big party, June said. I don't know if anyone will come, but just having it would be enough, you know?
I'd come. Of course you would. You're my best friend.
Really? June's smile wavered.
Yeah. Is that okay?
Yes!
Ivy nearly shouted it, and June startled.
Sorry, I mean, yes. Yes, that's great.
June's smile returned, along with a blush that pinked up her cheeks, and now Ivy was back to thinking about pretty. She shook her head to clear it.
Anyway, Taryn asked what I wanted to do for my birthday, and I thought it might be fun to go to the spring dance.
Oh, yeah, I really wanted to go, but no one asked me, surprise, surprise. Taryn's going with Drew, right?
Yeah. So, do you want to go?
To the dance?
Ivy nodded, ready for June to grimace or stammer some excuse. But she didn't do any of those things. Instead, she brightened and bounced on her toes a little.
Yeah, let's go together, June said. That'll be even more fun.
It took Ivy several seconds to realize that June had said yes.
So, yes?
She asked, just to make sure.
Of course, silly,
June laughed. But then grew serious. That is, if my mom will let me. But even if she doesn't, June, you can't sneak out to go to the dance. I think your mom already hates me.
No, she doesn't. She's just being her. But leave it to me.
June tapped her chin, her eyes narrowing in mischief. It's your birthday, and I am not going to let you down. Ivy grinned, and all those bats softened into delicate, beautiful butterflies. Chapter 27, 1033. The day of the dance, the day of Ivy's 13th birthday, she woke up with a stomach ache, but not a sick stomach ache, a nervous, panicky, can't get enough oxygen stomach ache. The past couple of days went by so fast, only two things really stood out. One, she still hadn't heard from Keeper. She had no idea what to think about it all, since June was her only suspect. Her locker was depressingly empty, But the second thing kept her from despairing too much. June's mom had agreed to let her go to the dance. Of course, Dr. Somerset had called the principal and asked if she could chaperone. But still, June would be there, with Ivy, at a dance. With Ivy wearing the most beautiful dress she'd ever seen, thanks to Robin. Ivy thought about mentioning the dance to Layla when she met her family at a park near the inn Thursday afternoon, mostly because she had absolutely nothing to wear. But what could Layla really do about it? It wasn't like her sister had any dresses to lend her. And since her parents didn't ask her what she wanted for her birthday, Ivy guessed that clothes weren't really in the budget. Erin was fussy, so Ivy barely saw her mother for 10 minutes. She simply offered Ivy a quick hug and said that she'd see Ivy on Saturday and that she couldn't believe she was about to have two amazing teenage daughters. Then she went back to the hotel with Erin, leaving Ivy to eat a picnic dinner with her sister and a sleeping Evan. Dad spent most of the time on the phone, with a worried crease between his eyes. So when Ivy ran into Robin on her way back to Taryn's house, all the details about the dance spilled out. It was like the words were sitting there on Ivy's tongue, waiting for someone to listen. "That's so exciting, Ivy," Robin had said. "And you're going with June?" Ivy nodded, a blush rushing into her cheeks. "I don't have anything to wear, though. I could probably find something at Taryn's, even though her stuff is a little small for me. It'll be fine." Robin tilted her head at Ivy, her eyes thoughtful. Before Ivy knew it, Robin pulled her into Lacey's, a little boutique kids' clothing shop right off Main Street. Ivy tried on dozens of dresses, none of them feeling quite right. Until Robin found a green dress on the sale rack. But it wasn't just green. It was all the greens. Forest and pine and Kelly and grass, all flowing together like a green ocean. The dress was sleeveless and fitted at the waist, but the skirt flared out with a layer of chiffon over satin. A-line, Robin had called it. Ivy loved it. "That's the one," Robin said, grinning. "Absolutely perfect with your hair." She asked Ivy to twirl, and they both laughed as the dress flowed around Ivy perfectly. After Ivy changed, Robin took the dress to the register and paid for it before Ivy could even blink.
I don't know when I can pay you back," Ivy said when Robin handed her the bag.
"I don't want you to. I don't want you to worry about it at all. I just want you to go to that dance, be yourself, and tell me all about it when it's over, okay?"
Ivy swallowed around the balloon in her throat and nodded. Then she hugged Robin, and Robin hugged her back, running her hand over Ivy's hair, just like Mom used to. It was so nice to be hugged by a grown-up, by someone Ivy liked and trusted. It was nice to feel taken care of. Now, the morning of her birthday, Ivy stuffed herself with Mr. Bishop's famous maple and brown sugar pancakes, bacon, and orange juice, daydreaming about her dress. And this felt nice, too. Taryn's mom stuck a few candles into Ivy's giant stack of pancakes, and they all sang Happy Birthday. Ivy cracked up because Taryn was completely off-key, but she didn't really care. She sang loud and proud, and Ivy loved that about her. Ivy kept watching the clock while she ate, the hands moving closer and closer to 10:33, which was when she was born. At that exact moment, 10:33 in the morning, Ivy's mom always told her happy birthday. If her birthday fell on a school day, Mom arranged for whatever teacher Ivy was with at the time to slip her a note and a little piece of chocolate at exactly 10:33. It was a thing her mom did that she never heard of any other moms doing, and Ivy loved it. Mom did it with Layla, too, even though Layla was born at 4:15 a.m. in October. Every year, Mom set an alarm for herself and went into Layla's room, snuggling with Ivy's groggy and usually cranky sister, and sang Happy Birthday like a lullaby. Ivy was sure Mom would do it with the twins, too. Every January 16th at 1:46 in the afternoon for Erin, and then again at 1:53 for Evan. She would have to sneak them notes in school, too. After Ivy unwrapped Taryn's present, a new turquoise messenger bag that Ivy loved, with a nice wide strap and magnetic closures. They settled in front of the TV to watch a movie. They brought a bowl of buttery popcorn with them, even though Ivy was so full she could barely get a breath. Ivy clung to her cell phone as the time moved closer and closer to 10:33. 10:14. 10:27. Then it hit 10:33. Then it passed. 10:41. 11:03. And Ivy's phone didn't ring. Now the clock read 11:33. The movie kept playing, and through the window Ivy saw Mr. Bishop pushing the lawnmower up and down the front yard. But Ivy couldn't hear anything over the sound of her lungs trying to get enough air while she turned off her phone. Chapter 28. Dance. The school's gymnasium was unrecognizable. Usually it reeked of sweat and rubber with a hint of cheap fruity body spray. Tonight it smelled of sparkly red punch, and older brother's cologne, and flowers from corsages, and whatever those things are called that girls pin onto a guy's jacket. And yes, there was still a trace of the sweat and rubber, but overall the place looked magical. White lights twinkled everywhere. They wound around the fake plants set up in the room, draped over the wall clocks and basketball goals, snaked through the bowls of chips and cookies on the snack table. The DJ played a happy song, and kids were already dancing in the center of the room. Everything was soft and pretty, including June. Ivy walked in with Taryn and found June standing by the snack table. Her mom was here somewhere, too, but at the moment, that didn't matter. June was wearing a flowing, lacy dress the color of winter sunshine. Her dark hair and eyes looked even darker against the pale yellow. Ivy's stomach did its normal thing, which is to say it thundered and flashed like a wild storm. But for once, Ivy didn't mind. She just let it be what it was. Because June was right, some storms could be awesome. Earlier, when Mr. Bishop called up to Taryn's room at 5:51 to tell the girls that it was time to leave for the dance, Ivy still hadn't turned on her phone to see if her parents had called. At lunch, when Mrs. Bishop asked if Ivy had talked to them, she had mumbled a yes, embarrassed that her family had forgotten her on the most important birthday she'd ever had. Ivy had spent the rest of the afternoon doing the only thing that made her feel better, drawing. While Taryn and Mrs. Bishop ran a few errands, Ivy holed up in Taryn's room and drew her first complete treehouse picture since the tornado. Except this time, it wasn't some nameless girl inside the treehouse with Ivy. It was June. Short dark hair, and tiny little braid over her ear and everything. It was the perfect drawing to help her forget about how horrible her birthday had been so far. It was the perfect drawing to remind her that tonight, she was going to her first ever dance with her first ever crush as a first ever teenager. Right now, June looked ready for her first ever dance, too. She grinned when she saw Ivy, a bright smile that Ivy would paint in pink and yellow starbursts if she could.
Happy birthday,
June said, pulling Ivy into a hug. She smelled like violets, or maybe lilacs, something purple and pretty. Thanks, Ivy said, even though she didn't want to think about her birthday right now.
Do they have cake here?
Taryn asked, craning her neck toward the snack table.
We need cake. You haven't had cake today.
I don't need cake.
Everyone needs cake,
Drew said, coming up next to Taryn, who grinned at him.
Hey, Drew, Ivy said. How are you?
He gave her a small smile and shrugged.
I'm okay, thanks.
Ivy could feel her best friend looking at her. Taryn had been kind of quiet all afternoon while they were getting ready. She had shrieked over Ivy's dress, and Ivy had shrieked over hers, a pale pink thing that reminded Ivy of fairy wings. But that was really it. June's hand slid into Ivy's and squeezed her fingers. Ivy's heart leaped and soared.
Let's all go dance,
June said, smiling at Ivy.
Yeah, dancing is good,
Ivy said. Then June grabbed Taryn's hand as well, while Drew mumbled something about finding his friends first.
Ugh, boys,
Taryn said, but she was smiling as she watched Drew lumber off toward a group of guys near the DJ. The three girls headed toward the dance floor.